the interesting result was the mortality pattern. So during the peak silence period, we saw around 7% mortality in antibiotic group, and we saw around 35% mortality in symbiotic group, which is like huge. But 1 week after the challenge, the mortality in antibiotic group was still 7%. But in symbiotic group, there was only 1% mortality. So this indicates that the antibiotic was able to handle the sudden infection in a very good way. But the symbiotic failed to compete with the sudden infection.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Ready for more sustainable poultry production? New data suggests that decreasing bacterial loads in feed using Termin 8 supports enteric health, leading to improved performance. Gut health is more than a gut instinct. Learn more today at www.anitox.com or visit us at IPPE, booth B12027.
Anatox, partnering with the world's food producers to develop and deliver innovative programs to efficiently produce safer food. BASF provides sustainable, high-performing ingredients that enhance the quality and productivity of your poultry feed. Kerry, proven on the farm, trusted on the plate. Kerry is where technology is made.
The Poultry Science Association is dedicated to advancing poultry science worldwide. Learn more at poultryscience.org.
Welcome to another episode of the Poultry Nutrition Black Belt Podcast. I'm your host today, Kelly Wamsley, and I'm joined by Bikas Shah.
How are you, Dr. Wamsley?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Okay, so Bikas, let's talk a little bit about your master's research. And so you did two different research trials with broilers. And in one of the projects, you were looking at the role of symbiotics in helping to reduce subclinical necrotic enteritis. And then in the second trial, you were looking from more of a clinical necrotic enteritis challenge model, right? So can you tell us a little bit about the two trials and maybe the differences between them and what you measured first?
In my both of the trials, I went with the performance parameters. I assessed a lesion score. Then we looked after some of the immunological parameters such as like CD4 and CD8 T cells, regulatory T cells. We also did some of the in vitro assays, which includes like nitric oxide production by macrophages. And then we also looked into the gene expression of several inflammatory and anti-inflammatory cytokines.
Gotcha. You started sampling after the challenge or right before you challenged the bird?
We even compared before challenge.
Okay. And so then I imagine, before the challenge, did you see any differences between treatments?
No.
Okay. Interesting. So then you introduced the challenge into the birds, mm-hmm. and then you started to see some differences. Can you explain some of those differences that you observed?
While looking into the performance parameters, important one is FCR, because the symbiotic decreased the FCR, which was like worthy not taking. Mm-hmm. And then symbiotic supplementation also decreased the lesion score significantly, which is also one of the plus point. And then we saw the rise of inflammatory immune cells, that is CD4 T cells, and another cytotoxic T cells, which is CD8 T cells. And they both were increased during the peak challenge period. And the 1 week after the challenge, it was reduced. But when we talk about regulatory T cells, it was decreased during the peak challenge period. So that the body is not trying to suppress the immune system. And 1 week later, during the recovery phase, the Treg was increasing, which indicates the Treg was trying to clear the immune cells, inflammatory immune cells, and reach to the homeostasis state.
Interesting.
And we also saw increase in nitric oxide production by macrophages in vitro, which even indicates that the macrophages were also playing active role in eliminating the infection by production of nitric oxide. And we also saw that there was significant rise in several inflammatory and anti-inflammatory cytokines during the infection, and it has like important role in clearing the infection. But when we come towards our second trial, it was the result was almost the same. Antibiotic was slightly better in performance when compared to the symbiotic, but the interesting result was the mortality pattern. So during the peak challenge period, we saw around 7% mortality in antibiotic group, and we saw around 35% mortality in symbiotic group, which is like huge. But 1 week after the challenge, the mortality in antibiotic group was still 7%, but in symbiotic group, there was only 1% mortality. So this indicates that the antibiotic was able to handle the sudden infection in very good way, but the symbiotic failed to compete with the sudden infection.
Yeah.
So from here, what we can get that the birds in antibiotic group literally was able to fight with the disease, whereas the birds in symbiotic group was not able to fight the disease in the first week. And in second week, the birds fed with antibiotic who were not able to cope with the disease literally died, which was 7%. But in symbiotic, all the birds which were not able to fight with were dead in like first week. So we literally see almost no mortality in the second week. So here we can like say that our symbiotic needs to be improved so that it will be ready to replace the like antibiotics in the poultry industry.
Have you looked at the combined use of the symbiotics and your antibiotic treatments?
No, I haven't looked into the like combined effect of antibiotic and symbiotic, but yeah, I would like to do it in future.
So looking at some of the immune function parameters that you measured, was there anything that surprised you or anything that you would say, you know, is something that you definitely need to look more into?
I think I have looked into like CD4 and CD8 T cells, which are like conventional T cells.
Sure.
But later I came to know like there is something called intraepithelial lymphocytes, which are present in the like intestinal epithelium. And they are the first one to interact with all the food particles and gut microbiota and shape the mucosal immune system. So further, I want to like look into the intraepithelial lymphocytes during the any challenge and see like whether the like systemic T cells and intraepithelial T cells shows the same pattern or not.
Okay. And so then if you see it, you know, with that pattern that exists, what would that tell you?
So from here, we can get that the lymphocytes have very active role in clearing the infection, and we can rely on several nutritional immunology approach to combat several infections such as necrotic enteritis and salmonella. And hopefully we would be able to replace antibiotics from the poultry feed.
Very good. Interesting. And so just also to kind of recap a little bit from the performance side, you know, because and it is really, I think, unique in looking at from the immune function and then on performance, because a lot of times you think about the immune function and then that's taking away energy that could be going into, you know, performance. And so you said you had improved feed conversion ratio in some of your symbiotic treatments compared at least to the control. And then sometimes it's either similar to your antibiotic treatment or better. How many points of feed conversion ratio were you able to pick up?
Don't remember the points, but I can say it was around 0.7 or 8, something like that.
Okay. That's a very extreme.
Like I was shocked to like in body weight gain, there is like no significant difference, but in FC I can see the difference, and that was like crazy.
Well, so what are the next steps in your research then? And where do you want to go into next?
So in my PhD, our lab specifically looks on the intraepithelial lymphocytes, which I talked like a bit a moment ago.
Mm-hmm.
So intraepithelial lymphocytes, I think, are better to look out in compared to like systemic immune cells, because as I have already mentioned, intraepithelial lymphocytes are the one which saves the mucosal immunity. Like they have to deal with tons of bacteria and tons of varieties of food particles we eat. And then they have to identify them, which one is like immunogenic, which one is not immunogenic. Then they have to tolerate the non-immunogenic one. And then they have to eliminate the harmful or immunogenic one. So I think intraepithelial lymphocytes is like so much into shaping the intestinal immune response. So currently we are looking the role of intraepithelial lymphocytes in several challenge model. And at the beginning of this year, we published one article in which we characterized several intraepithelial lymphocytes, specifically the natural ones. And we saw the rise in natural intraepithelial lymphocytes during cell necrotic enteritis challenge. And we again then did the same experiment during the Salmonella challenge, and we saw the same pattern. So now I'm like more into the IELs, that is like intraepithelial lymphocytes. And yeah, we also reported two natural intraepithelial lymphocytes in the chicken for the first time.
Oh, wow.
But it has only been studied in humans and mice. But in poultry, it was like still a mystery. And in humans and poultry, those cells have very active role in immune cell homeostasis, as well as regulating the immune function. So now we are trying to see if those cells are playing the same role in chickens or different. So we are now designing a study to see its function.
Oh, that's really interesting. And so what kind of assay is it whenever you're looking at those intraepithelial lymphocytes?
So we are basically sampling the ileum section,
mm-hmm.
and then we extract the intraepithelial lymphocytes, and then we do flow cytometry to see the presence of cells using like different cell markers.
I've gotcha. And if people want to look up more on at least the first publication and some of the publications that you mentioned on the intraepithelial lymphocyte, mm-hmm. where should they look for those publications at?
You can Google it. You can go through my Google Scholar profile or LinkedIn profile or
perfect. Great. Well, I guess coming into a closing, what do you think would be a take home in our listeners and of this podcast?
So what I want to say is like working with poultry is not as easy as it seems. Because when we talk about like other species like cow or, for example, humans, you can do nutritional intervention. Like for me, if I get suffering from some massive disease, I just want to get recovered. Nobody cares whether I'm lean, I'm weak, or whatever is going with me. I just want to stay alive. But in terms of chickens, it's not possible because they are, I won't say the lifespan, but they reach their market is at like 40 to 50 days. So we just have that time period. And we do a lot of immune intervention. Then as you have already mentioned, a lot of energy will be going towards like clearing the infection, and all of the energy will be utilized by immune cells. And ultimately we cannot get the proper body weight, which is the performance and which ultimately matters. Even if like you found some like immune intervention, it's expensive. Another one more thing I want to point is it's expensive. So if it is not giving proper body weight, it would not be accepted by farmers in the poultry industry.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why nutritional intervention is one of the major way, because you have we need some kind of like nutritional intervention which can modulate and regulate immune system, as well as provide energy to the body, which take care of their performance too. So I think collaborating nutrition and immunology is one of the best way to deal with these types of like infectious disease or gut health in chickens. And if I want to say something about symbiotic, then I would obviously say that we need to blend some more probiotic bacteria. We need to blend some more selective prebiotic so that we can get more optimum results during the like intestinal infection.
Okay, great. And so do you have, on some of the probiotics and prebiotics that you mentioned on adding more of, well, do you have any ones that you might be specifically interested in?
So specifically, instead of like, there are two things. One is a species and one is a strain. Mm-hmm. So what I think we should also be looking for the better strain, like, because if in pathogenic bacteria, we have like the strain which causes subclinical, and we have the strain, same bacteria, but different strain which causes like clinical. So there should be like some strain available in the like poultry gut. We might get it from the poultry gut, which will give us better results. So we still need to work on them. And that's one of my future plan. Let's see. Still, I am like working, I'm learning.
I think we all are. So, but it's an exciting field. And obviously this is an important challenge for an opportunity within our industry. And it's important too, because we definitely want to make sure that the welfare of the birds is there and is improved, and that the birds are healthy. And then the meat in the long run is healthy and the birds are efficient at the same time. And so I think it's fascinating that the approach that you're taking and combining in, all these different metrics that you're looking at, not just live performance, but also looking at immune function, to really look at the mode of action and try to also be able to use that information to shape, the recommendations and either, modifying some of these products, and getting us more and more information about the birds and their immune function and maybe the microbiome as well. And so, that's a big area and of opportunity too. So, well, thank you so much, Vikas. Appreciate your time today. And thank you so much to our listeners out there. This is another episode of the Poultry Nutrition Black Belt Podcast. We'll catch you next time. Thanks. Bye.